Author's note. Most Pacific theater events and operations took place on the other side of the international dateline from North America. Thus, all dates and times in this series are local. To avoid confusion between morning and afternoon times, this series employs the 24-hour military clock. For instance, 8 a.m. is 0800, 2 p.m. is 1400, and so on. In the Japanese and Chinese languages, surnames are listed before given names. That is, Tojo Hideki rather than Hideki Tojo. This is the exact opposite of Western practice. Because this is a work written in the English language, Japanese and Chinese names will be listed in the Western style, except with individuals such as Chiang Kai-shek or Mao Zedong, whose names are widely known in their correct cultural format. The terms Jap and Nip are viewed today as racist and offensive. However, during World War II, they were used so commonly among Americans, Australians, and Britons, even generals and policymakers, as to take on the status of mundane slang. As such, I will make no attempt to excise the terms from the quoted sources in this series. In no way does this indicate my acceptance or approval of these pejorative words. Throughout the series, the terms Pacific War and Pacific Asia War are interchangeable. All rank designations are current. Many soldiers were promoted several times in the course of the war. In this series, I use the rank of the person at the appropriate time frame. For instance, Douglas MacArthur began 1944 as a four-star general. In the passages that covered this phase of his life, I refer to him as a general. Later, he was promoted to five-star rank. Thus, in subsequent chapters, I recognize his new ranks and refer to him appropriately. The term Native, to describe peoples of Asia, Pacific Islands, Melanesia, and the like, is, in my view, an inappropriate, patronizing, and somewhat dehumanizing legacy of colonialism. After all, one does not refer to someone from France or Poland as a native. So why would one use the term to describe someone from Burma or Guadalcanal? Thus, this series eschews the term native in favor of appropriate local or ethnic designations. The exception, of course, is in quotes from contemporary sources. There are many versions and dialects of Chinese, Mandarin, Cantonese, etc. Thus, names, places, and terms can have strikingly different English translations. For example, Chiang Kai-shek versus Zhang Jishi. This series employs the most commonly known versions of names, places, and terms. Prologue. Beneath a tropical canopy of alien and friendly places, spanning untold thousands of miles, an army waited and languished and planned and trained and plotted and innovated and anticipated. A coiled olive-drab machine, growing in strength and purpose, it had more than 2 years of campaigns already under its belt, ranging from the disastrous, as in the Philippines, to the triumphant, as at Guadalcanal. Like a young adult just beginning to feel the prodigious power of youth, this burgeoning army stood, as 1944 dawned, on the cusp of full maturity and overarching purpose. From desolate Alaskan outposts to viney, choking jungles in Burma, New Guinea, and the Solomon Islands, from Oahu to Australia, and a dizzying array of otherwise insignificant little coral stepping stone Pacific islands in between, nearly 700,000 soldiers of this growing army were spread across nearly a third of the globe's surface, answering to no single commander, a dispersion of geography and command unprecedented before or since in American history. By the time this army had completed its monumental task a year and a half later, it would number more than 1.8 million soldiers, the third largest land force ever fielded for an overseas war by the United States, behind only the European theater armies of World Wars I and II, and certainly the most amphibious experienced ground force in human history, comprising some 21 infantry and airborne divisions, plus assorted independent combat teams, whose manpower equated to three or four more divisions, in addition to accompanying service and support forces. Nearly 42,000 of these soldiers would not survive, felled as they were by combat, disease, accidents, and the terrible privation of captivity. A harvest of death that totaled more than the entirety of any previous American conflict, save the Civil War and World War I. Even now,